and the effing king of recovery has returned. It's Jim Valley, and I am back because of the fans here on the new and vicious Wrestling Observer Live on Saturday. 1-800-878-PLAY. 1-800-878-7529. We're back live, and we are live 7 days a week. Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Sundays, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. And here on Saturdays and today, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, with the new and vicious Jim Valley. Did you hear that? Even the Viking Raiders are calling themselves the new and vicious Viking Raiders. Still better than calling Liv Morgan the Miracle Kid. What is she, like a scamp from the Depression? Anyway. Sorry I missed last week. It turns out I had what's being called an atypical pneumonia. I was in the hospital for a few days, and given my situation, it's probably best to be cautious. As I mentioned, I live in the Seattle area, in King County in Washington State, which is supposed to be one of the good areas as far as vaccinations, wearing masks, social distancing. And King County right now is talking about possibly reinstating the mask mandate. Let me tell you from my own experience here, I waited in my local ER for over 2 hours to be seen, and then waited in the ER itself in a room about 8 hours before a room in the hospital opened up. And I kid you not, this is absolutely true. Literally every nurse and doctor who came to see me, came into my room, told me how busy they were, many of them apologizing for not getting around to seeing me sooner. And they were, very frazzled. And, as far as patients go, I was, pretty low maintenance. But I'm only telling you this so you stay safe. Don't think that things are over. Coming up on the show, G1 kicks off. Jeff Jarrett returns. New champions in Noah. And the great Muda begins to say goodbye. So stand by. It's Jim Valley, Wrestling Observer Live on Saturday. It is a completely passable, almost acceptable, pretty much disposable, basically forgettable, close enough for government work episode of Wrestling Observer Live Saturday. It's Jim Valley, and yes, I am the inspiration for Baby Yoda. I'd hope to have it up this week, but it did not happen. But be on the lookout for the brand new Jim Valley Because of the Fans t-shirt, coming soon to Pro Wrestling Tees, hopefully coming up this week. But watch on my social for a link, or you can search the Wrestling Observer store at ProWrestlingTees.com. So it's a good-looking shirt. We'll have more on that coming up. Also coming up later today, I'll be announcing the Lake Fair Parade in Olympia, Washington. Lake Fair is something I remember from my childhood. We'll be doing it on Facebook Live if you want to check it out. And by the way, if you want to see right now how bad my hair looks, I always forget to fix my hair every time. Anyway, I have a YouTube channel. You can see it live right now. So search Jim Valley on YouTube, please. Like and subscribe. I don't know. I think they're waiting for me to do some more episodes and not get sick and everything before they give me a producer. At least that's what they're telling me. I don't know. I noticed that my stuff never goes up on YouTube, and my stuff doesn't really get promoted. It's fine. I think I just got to kind of prove that I'm still here doing this thing, but it's fine. We're here in our own little corner, kind of doing our own thing. I'm your friend. I'm your buddy. I'm your pal. I know that the economy is rough right now. And if you're dealing with the effect of inflation, high gas prices on your budget, maybe you cannot afford Ric Flair's last match or the whole package which is $200 on Fight TV. You know, I'm not saying it's not a good value and not worth it, but it's a lot of money. And you know, if you can't afford the Ric Flair roast, don't worry. I got you covered, boo. Next week, I will preview all the jokes for the Ric Flair roast absolutely free. So it'll be just like being there. So be sure to tune in next week, as I will have you covered in these trying economic times. You know, it wouldn't be Wrestling Observer Live if I wasn't back from the hospital. And also, if we didn't check the phones at 1-800-878-PLAY and find Ryan from Cumberland. Ryan, what is on your mind today, brother?
Jim, I have a question on WWE going to this TV-14 and it's related to Cody Rhodes. Do you think that Cody will ever do the War Games match in WWE? And do you think it's possible that he could overshadow AEW's version with this TV-14 with having maybe like a little bit of blood, even though Brian says that all it's going to be is a little bit more cursing, but maybe even Cody doesn't even need that TV-14 to make it better than AEW? And what do you think that match would be for War Games? Like, what do you think Team Cody would look like, and what do you think his opponents would look like for that match?
Well, I mean, you could book something. Thank you for the call, Ryan. I appreciate it. You could book something, you know, do a whole fan fiction booking, but you know, WWE has had the War Games IP now for what, 20 years? And the only time they've done it was on NXT. So I guess you never say never, but I would see it as highly unlikely that they would do a War Games match on WWE television. I think War Games, Great American Bash, In Your House, all of those vintage IPs, those 90s IPs, kind of stay under the NXT banner. So I don't see in real life those things happening. I mean, if it were to happen, you know, I guess the most obvious thing would be Team Cody versus Team Seth Rollins. And, you know, you put in, you know, some people who are, you know, one person at Cody's level, and then a couple of people not quite at Cody's level, like a Madcap Moss, and then somebody who could do the job. Something like that. But in all honesty, I don't see that. If anything, it would be either, you know, do another Hell in the Cell or do their version of War Games. Oh, God, what's that one called? The Elimination Chamber. I mean, that's essentially War Games under the WWE banner, but it's one-on-one. And honestly, that's a better version of War Games. Honestly, it really is. So no, I don't see it happening. And, you know, as far as TV-14, I just think it's a way to get a couple of naughty words on the TV. I don't know that we're going to see blood all that often. I mean, here's the thing. The WWE did PGTV to placate Mattel to make dolls. But now we've seen that by and large, the dolls, the action figures, are for collectors. Grown adults collect the action figures. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But very few kids, there are some kids who grow up playing with the action figures, and that's fine. But by and large, action figures are for grown men who do collectibles. And that's absolutely fine. I've got some friends who collect action figures, and sometimes we rib them a little bit just for fun. But there's nothing wrong with that. You know, looking around this office space that I have, I've got a couple of figures. I've got some Star Wars action figures. I've got a couple. I don't have a lot. But by and large, they just collect dust on a shelf. So if they just collect dust on a shelf, you know, what's the point? Kids these days, by and large, play video games. They play Fortnite. They play Call of Duty. They play Minecraft. It's a digital world. So if action figures, if they're primarily for adults, then what does it matter if the TV is TV 14? I don't think we're going back to mud matches or bra and panties or things like that. But I just think, you know, by and large, Brock Lesnar may swear a little bit. Roman Reigns may drop an S-bomb here or there. But it's not to placate toys anymore. Grown men buy action figures. Or they buy, you know, the championship belts. Or things like that. Sure, some kids do. But honestly, if your parents let you watch wrestling, they're not watching what the people say, by and large. It's not that big a deal. Coming up, the G1 has started. We'll run down the tournament matches, run down SmackDown, plus new champions in Noah and the great Muta. Says his first goodbye. It's Jim Valley, Wrestling Observer Live. It's Jim Valley, Wrestling Observer Live on Saturday. You can follow me on social. Tweet me at Jim Valley. You know, thinking about the whole TV 14 thing. You know, if the storylines for some of the female competitors become racier, you know, given the whole story, the scandal with Vince paying off women, even if there's a piece of talent, a female talent, who's completely innocent, who's working hard, putting in effort, and getting on television by doing the right things backstage, working hard, being honest, you know, those type of things, good things. You know, she goes on TV and she's in some sort of adult storyline. You know, it's a damn shame that people could think the worst about her. You know, and that's what's crap about Vince and his, you know, his appetites. He's a 73-year-old man. And, you know, we live in a world now where the shame has been reduced greatly of being a sex worker. There's many generations now where there's no shame at all in being a sex worker. So it's like, Vince, just go patronize something like that. Don't put your company in jeopardy. Don't put your relationships in jeopardy, your partnerships in jeopardy. I mean, you know, there's a lot of people who just make an average living in WWE. They go to work, they go home, they have families, they pay their mortgage, they pay their bills, they have kids, they buy shoes, they buy clothes, they buy presents, you know, they make car payments. Just regular people. You know, it's easy to think about the wrestlers. Many of them are millionaires. Or Nick Khan, who's a millionaire, or top executives we all know who are millionaires. But they're also just average people, workaday people. And Vince's proclivities affect them. You know, he has responsibilities, whether he realizes it or not, or wants to admit it or not. I know he thinks he's untouchable. I know he thinks that he can do whatever he wants because he's a billionaire. And you know, that's the thing. You know, I'm all for living the American dream, if you will. Going out and having enough money. But it's like, after you have enough houses, and you have enough money, and you're secure for generations, it's like at that point, then it's about power. Things you want to do because you can. You know, there are stories about, you know, rich kids, the kids of billionaires, you know, maybe oil sheiks, who come to the United States, you know, speed their Ferraris down streets, get into accidents. You know, there are the stories of, you know, the son of untouchable people in Saudi Arabia who have come to the United States, who have sped their, you know, their multi-million dollar cars down the street, killed someone, you know, I think it was in Britain, maybe the United States. But then they leave because they don't want to face the consequences, because they can. And it's just like, there is a point in life where you make too much money, where it's damaging to society as a whole. And I'm not talking about living a Spartan life, or doing without, or living on a commune, or anything like that. You can have plenty of houses and money, but it's like there's a point where it's too much. We live in a life where there's too much, where you can have too much money, where you can have just too much in general. And that's where many people are in the world these days. I don't know what the solution is, but there's, you know, there's a point where conservatism, you know, it's supposedly about accountability. Well, if you're no longer accountable, it's a bad thing. And that's, I don't know, that's just, it's just sad that there are hardworking people who will be affected. And there will be attractive, hard-working women. And people will ask unfair questions of them. Whether they did anything at all or not. And that's a damn shame. But that's just the way it is. It's sad. You know, watching SmackDown, it was just kind of there. Nothing really that exciting. They had a championship contenders match. Liv Morgan defeated Natalya. Liv talked about being an underdog going into SummerSlam. Heyman tried to convince Theory not to cash in at SummerSlam. But Theory says he's going to cash in against Reigns or Lesnar SummerSlam. The Viking Raiders, their music came out, and lo and behold, it was the New Day, dressed as the new and vicious Viking Raiders. Then suddenly, the new and vicious Viking Raiders came out, and guess what? They called themselves the new and vicious Viking Raiders. Well, the Viking Raiders talked on the mic, and they heard enough, started walking to the ring, and suddenly, Jinder Mahal and Shanky came out. Turns out, Shanky and Mahal were on the same side as the New Day, and they all started dancing, which there was really no trap. You know, talking about accountability, I wonder, You know, when I was a kid, I used to think math only applied to math class and to things like engineering and building and things. The older I get, the more I realize that math applies to everything. And we have so much wrestling content. You know, you have 3 hours of Raw. You have 2 hours of SmackDown. You have 2 hours of NXT. You have NXT UK. Not to mention, you have 2 hours of AEW Dynamite. You have an hour of Rampage. You have AEW Dark. AEW Elevation. There's Noah. There's New Japan. There's All Japan. There's so much wrestling content. Have we reached the point where it's like there's only so many angles you can do? So many different things you can do. It's like, oh yeah, we've gone through this amount of time. Now it's time for someone to come dressed out as their opponent. Oh, it's time for a contract signing. Oh, it's time for a dance contest. Oh, it's time for this. It's time for that. Have we reached the point where there's so much content and only so many plausible wrestling angles to happen on television? Because that's what it feels like. It feels like Halley's Comet. Things come by so often because there's so much wrestling content and only so many plausible things that can happen on television. It feels like the treadmill. It's like, oh, yeah, there's that thing that happens every so often. It's just, does it feel that way to you? Because it feels that way to me. Take, for example, Lacey Evans and Aaliyah. Aaliyah feels like she's the new Liv Morgan. She's the new girl next door who's at the bottom of the pecking order who loses all the time. Evans and Aaliyah didn't even have a match. Evans cut a promo instead. She walked out, got a lot of boos and what's during her entrance. Anyway, they did the thing where they restarted her entrance. They booed her. She said that she's better than the fans. Basically, it's another hashtag because of the fans. Talked about serving her country. Fans broke out into a "you chant, you suck" chant. Said she's disgusted. She called herself an American hero. She said, that she felt terrible, that she was offended the fans. She tried to apologize, but the fans wouldn't accept it. You know where this is going. She told the fans to go to hell. She walked out, and Aaliyah just stood there. Again, feels like we're just cycling through these things because there's so much content and so few new ideas. It's Jim Valley, Wrestling Observer Live. It's Jim Valley, Wrestling Observer Live, Saturday. It's 1-800-878-PLAY. 1-800-878-7529. To wrap up SmackDown last night, they did the Usos against the Street Profits again. But this time it was a singles match as Angelo Dawkins defeated Jimmy Uso. Now stop me if you've heard this before. They did the finish where the shoulder was up. Oh, you have heard that? Oh yeah, that's right. Anyway, they did the whole shoulder up gimmick again, which seems to be the story of this whole feud as they go into SummerSlam. But then they announced Adam Pearce came out and they announced that the special guest referee for the Usos and the Street Profits is going to be none other than Jeff Jarrett, which I guess ties into the whole Nashville theme of SummerSlam. And you can see the graphics for the promotion of SummerSlam. Makes it look like all the bars on Music Row down there on Broadway. So it looks like Tootsie's and Jason Aldean's and Toby Keith's and all of those. Have you been downtown Nashville? I mean, if you enjoy it, God bless you. The Firestone is the Bridgestone Arena. It's a great arena. That's pretty cool. But I'll tell you what. Downtown Nashville, you go down to those bars, it is the most depressing place I think I have ever been. You can just feel, the first time I walked out there, I could just feel all of the crushed souls and dreams of so many musicians. You go there, and you go into these honky-tonks, these fake honky-tonks, and there's just, you know, where you can buy baskets of deep-fried crap, and there are these kids, God bless these kids, trying to live their dream, you know, playing for nothing, literally passing the hat around, playing for tips, playing the same songs to, you know, they go there all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and it's just, you know, trying to get a record deal. And I've got a friend who's a pretty successful record producer in Nashville, and I remember one night he wanted to go check out a group in a bar, and it's just fascinating. You know, we were sitting at the bar, and you know, there was some woman who was a singer, and she was like, oh yeah, I sang with Garth Brooks, and I did this and I did that, and she's talking up her resume, and my friend's kind of shining her on, and she walks away, and he's like, I wonder what's wrong with her. Because, you know, she lists off all these opportunities, and, you know, she's still tending bar. Nobody has snatched her up. And, you know, we went out one night to did a recording session, and there was this young kid who was signed to Garth Brooks' recording label. Good-looking guy, handsome, talented, seemingly had the world by the tail, and you know, nothing ever came of it, I think. I think chasing a girl, or, you know, a very common tale. But downtown Nashville is depressing. It's so many broken dreams. I don't know. SummerSlam just seems like nothing. I mean, it feels like they gave Liv Morgan a bone because people like her. I don't know. I mean, what is the Liv Morgan character? What are they calling her right now? The something, the miracle kid? What is she like in Paper Moon? I don't know. Just SummerSlam just feels like nothing. I don't know. We'll see what they come up with, but so far I'm just like, they've burned out the Usos and the Street Profits. It's going to be Brock and Roman Reigns again. It just feels like there's just nothing but the name. It's just very nothing. Anyway, AW Rampage last night. We've got a match now for the ROH World Championship. It's been decided for Death Before Dishonor. Jonathan Gresham will defend the title against Claudio Castagnoli following the events of AEW Rampage. after Gresham defended successfully against Lee Moriarty, Gresham cut a promo saying that now he's going to be appearing on AEW TV as he's the best technical wrestler in the world, and that Castagnoli came out, there was a stare down. You know, I gotta say, Jonathan Gresham is an outstanding wrestler. Maybe kind of bland, but an outstanding wrestler. But it's fascinating that a major promotion is putting together someone who, I mean, no disrespect, he's in tremendous physical condition. He's a good-looking guy. By all accounts, a nice man, a credit to the industry. You know, he's just not very tall. And to put on a main event match with such a height disparity, I mean, that's amazing in this day and age. And I'm not knocking anybody. I'm saying that it's an example of how in this day and age, people don't really care about body types anymore. It doesn't matter, you know? And I think that's a great thing, that you've got such a height disparity in a match, in a world championship main event match. I mean, it's going to be an outstanding match. And I think for fans of wrestling and fans of Ring of Honor, that's what they want. That's what they do. That's what they care about. And the only reason I'm just pointing it out is because times have changed. And I think it's a great example of how times have changed. So looking at the other matches, 2 out of 3 falls, tag team champions FTR against the Briscoes. ROH women's champion Mercedes Martinez defends against Serena Deeb. ROH TV champion against Jay Lethal, challenging against Samoa Joe. The Pure champion Wheeler Yuta against Daniel Garcia. And according to Dave Meltzer, currently about 2,200 tickets sold. That's far above the barely 1,000 they were doing against and under Sinclair management. Now, it's not knocking the demand either. The Songus Center for a pay-per-view setup maxes out about 4,000. So they're a little over halfway. So that's pretty good. So continued success for Ring of Honor. Hey, last match, July 16th at Nippon Budokan. The first of Keiji Muto's final wrestling matches. And here's a spoiler, so if you don't want to know. 25-year-old Kaito Kiyomiya forced Muto to submit to the figure four leg lock. Also on the card, Timothy Thatcher and Hideki Suzuki won the GHC tag team titles. So good for Timothy Thatcher finding a home and a place in Noah. What a nice guy. I've seen Timothy Thatcher very early in his career. He's a great guy. I really like Timothy Thatcher, and I hope he succeeds. So all the best to Timothy Thatcher and his new home in Noah and GHC tag team titles. Also, a brand new GHC heavyweight champion as Kano defeated Satoshi Kojima for the title. A lot of people knocking Satoshi Kojima for being old and not being high on the card in New Japan, but what, he put over a young guy, which he knew he would do. That's the thing, people get too riled up when somebody who's older wins the title. It's like, he's a name guy. Kojima's a name guy. A lot of history. He put over Kenno. A great entrance for Kenno. And a big, high-profile win. A huge entrance. They had, like, all this fire. And this cool fire jacket that Kenno had. The rampway was lit with flames. So a great way to put over a young guy. So there's nothing wrong when an older guy wins the title. So I think it's a great thing. A lot of people talking about the terrible Lash Legend versus Indy Hartwell match on NXT. I don't know. And Lash Legend is a tremendous athlete. And I don't want to clown on Lash Legend at all. If you were to do athletic contests and break it down, Lash Legend would probably come up as far as being one of the top athletes anywhere on the WWE roster. But it just goes to show how difficult the art form of professional wrestling is. And, you know, she's a good-looking athlete. She's, you know, very cosmetically attractive. And I think that there can be something there. I just hope that, you know, she doesn't get a bad reputation where fans don't want to pay to see her, or it doesn't rattle her confidence. And that's the problem with putting these people on TV too early. Sort of like, remember Chris Masters? Chris Masters got good, but it was too late. And the whole thing rattled his confidence and rattled his marketing ability. And it just goes to show how difficult professional wrestling is. And hopefully it doesn't hurt the product with these NIL marketing agreements. And also it can hurt the idea of NILs. Put too many people under an NIL agreement on television, too many bad matches, and it could ruin the reputation. Oh, they signed an NIL. They must suck. You know, you don't want to do that. Spend a lot of money training these athletes, marketing these athletes, designing their look, things like that. And then it's like, it's a waste of money because people don't want to see them, because people go, they probably suck. One more thing about Lash Legend. I noticed she's not wearing a colorful outfit anymore. Wonder what that means for Naomi. Anyway. 1-800-878-PLAY. 1-800-878-7529. It's Jim Valley. Some thoughts on Logan Paul coming up next. Wrestling Observer Live. It's Jim Valley. Wrestling Observer Live. Tweet me at Jim Valley. You know, Logan Paul, on his YouTube show, talked about signing with WWE. He calls it a trifecta of what he looks for and decides what he's going to do. If he mixes passion, business, and media all into one thing, he calls it his ultimate happy place. Talking about how much fun he had doing WrestleMania, his friends had fun. Talks about being good business, that WWE pays well. And, you know, he's very excited. And look, he did a tremendous job at WrestleMania. Great instincts and everything. I think as far as in the ring, I take nothing away from him. When you look at celebrity performances in wrestling, you know, the book isn't written yet, but he's going to be way up there as far as ability and aptitude in wrestling. He showed great instincts and charisma. I take nothing away from that. But, and Dave Meltzer talks about this in the latest issue of the Wrestling Observer, another key aspect for both Paul brothers is interest in them as gimmick boxers has run its course. Their pay-per-view numbers have been down for Jake, and Logan's would be even more so. Jake's fight at Madison Square Garden in August has seen a terrible advance. And that's just the thing. I mean, Ronda Rousey was kind of on the downside when she signs with WWE. Now the Logan Paul, it's like, is WWE getting a reputation where kind of people on the downside go? And that's something to watch out for. Hey, I also want to remember on this date, it was 34 years ago, Bruiser Brody was murdered in Puerto Rico. Remember the great Bruiser Brody being kept alive by the memory of his wonderful wife, Barbara Goodish, who is a tremendous credit to the wrestling industry. So as I go about today, I'll be thinking about Barbara. We love you, Barbara. Love you too. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Vallick, and I will talk to you next week. And remember, as always, I always do it because of you. Hashtag because of the fans.